The Other Side of the News is a current and dynamic companion to augment the discussions from The Other Side of Midnight.
We investigate, explore, and extrapolate facts to gain better understanding of current affairs and events, and thus
to bring comfort and calm to our wide international audience. It's a spontaneous commentary
based on well-verified references vetted through vigilance and discernment.
Our desire
is to awaken your imagination
with questions.
Questions that have not been asked, yet need answering. The Other Side of the News is a place where you can come and be with us in community.
Learning new things, asking questions, getting compelling answers,
and interesting viewpoints. It's about curiosity.
We present thought-provoking questions to incite your mind, propelling you to see the world in another way.
Propelling you to see the world in another way.
With clear insights and fresh perspectives on global events.
Tune in for a balanced view
of the other side of the news.
Welcome to The Other Side of the News. Tonight's show is going to be revelatory for sure. To find tonight's show page, please go to theothersideofmidnight.com and click on tonight's show banner. It's called 5G, a Trojan Horse, ? And our guest is Daphna Tocover. So I've been reflecting how we are at the crossroads, a point where we stand with one foot in each world. On one side is a fearful universe of random chaos and malevolent intent. On the other side is a universe of abundant life-giving possibilities, calling us on to bring them forward. Whether you believe in a God or spirit or source, or you believe in science, certainly something is afoot in regard to our place in the universe. More and more people are reporting the experience of shifting between universes, and science is now pointing to the reality of the multiverse. You see, matter is not as solid in the way we have imagined it. It is more of a force field held in place by our attention to it. Perhaps you've heard whispers of the Mandela effect. Perhaps you've gone looking for an item where you knew it should be, but it was not, only to have it reappear when you're not looking for it. Have you considered you may be shifting through the multiverses moment by moment? Spontaneous remission is such a demonstration of shifting from one reality to another. So here we are at the crossroads. Will we see only terrifying events and impossible choices where technology threatens our very existence? Or will we see life-giving solutions, gifts from a benevolent universe created by the tapestry of all life's colors, either by technological modifications, legal controls, and if those fail, will we have the wisdom, will, and fortitude to stay true, to completely abandon any path that does not support life? Our guest tonight, Daphna Tocover, is with us, and she's going to share her poignant and potent insights into the question of 5G. And we'll bring her on later. So I want to welcome you all. My co-hosts tonight are Andrew Curry and Timothy Saunders and myself, Kinthea. Welcome to The Other Side of the News. Guys, jump in.
Thank you, Kinthea.
Hi, thank you, Kinthea. And it's Tony speaking.
Tony. Good evening, Tony. How are you? Hi. I feel jealous now. I should change my name, I think. Or at least I should change the pronunciation of my name. I think tonight I'm going to be Timothée. Okay. Is that okay, Kintia?
Yes, perfectly.
Excellent.
Well, you know what? I mean, Kintia, thank you again for a beautiful entry into our show. Your slip of the tongue is exactly what's going on in our current reality all across this planet. We just have literally cognitive dissonance, confusion, left, right, and center. And I'm talking on all political levels and on any mental level and literally through the heart, mind, and soul of every single person on this planet. I know we're all trying to orientate, but that's the whole point. We're not being allowed to orientate anymore. Everything has become unstable.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is unstable and volatile, huh? But yeah. Volatile possibly has a slightly negative sound. But I think that, maybe catalytic is better. I mean, catalyst can react in a positive and a negative way. But in my mind, I'm waking up every day positive. And certainly from my point of view, I'm aware of the ups and downs in the world, for sure. I it would be, impossible not to be. But on the other hand, if I look at the links I posted tonight, much to the pleasure of Kintia, I think I've gone for my all-time record, which I think is up to, 26 or 27 links. Now, why on earth would you say I put so many? Well, because there's that much news, there's that much to talk about, there's that much to check into after the show. I wouldn't suggest you do it now because we have our guests coming on very shortly. But there are literally hours, 15, 20 hours of very interesting information in my links this week. And, if anybody's a little bit bored, would like to take their mind off of the mainstream bleedier, then there's a lot of interesting information in my links.
Yeah, and the way we get there, folks, is you go to theothersideofmidnight.com when Timothy was talking about getting to his links. So you go to that website, then you find our show banner, which is The Other Side of the News. Click on that and you'll find our fast links. So Tim's fast links will be there. Click on that and you'll find his material. Same with Kintia. Myself and our guest. So that's how you get there.
And tonight's show is 5G, a Trojan horse.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I want to quickly, if you don't mind, I know we're going to, pretty steamroll here to our guest, but I want to bring up something that was brought to my attention, if you'll allow me to. If you go to my links, Andrew's links on the page, to my number one. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because one of the things that we've been talking about over the course of these weeks of this, ongoing event, like I like to call it, now an ongoing and volatile event, or catalytic, as Timothy said, is we're trying to put some faces, what's causing this? Who's causing this? Like, what's behind this? Who's we had a show about, a spider's web, and who are the spiders, potentially here? And, we're starting to get some interesting data that's starting to prove who is behind a lot of this stuff. One of the big things that's been sort of flagged in our face now for, I guess, since the George Floyd passing is this Black Lives Matters. And I'd like everybody to go to my, if they can. And if you don't right now, I'll just take you through it. So it's my number one. It's called AC Follow the Donations. And if you click on it, I have a whole series of numbers. Now, my older son, he's 21. He's an adult. He's very much up on paying attention to a lot of the social media. And this was flagged off of Twitter. Someone found this really interesting connection. So I'll take you through it. My number one says BlackLivesMatters.com. So if you click on their website, you come to their website, and there's a donate button, and it's like, it seems like a really good idea, taking action, trying to build resources for African American people. It sounds wonderful. You go to the donate button, you click on the donate button, another page opens up, and you come down to a part where it's what's called contributions rules. It's on my page. You'll see it. And under number two, it says the charity that you would donate to is something called Act Blue Charities. So you go to a site called opensecrets.org, and you come to an organization called opensecrets.org, which is called the Center for Responsive Politics. And I'll quickly read to you what their vision is. So our vision and mission: inform, empower, and advocate. It's a nonpartisan, independent, and nonprofit. The Center for Responsive Politics is the nation's premier research group tracking money in the U.S. politics and its effect on elections and public policy. Our vision is for Americans to be empowered by access to clear and unbiased information about money's role in politics and policy, and use that knowledge to strengthen our democracy. Our mission is to to produce and disseminate peerless data and analysis on money and politics to inform and engage Americans, champion transparency, and expose disproportionate or undue influence on public policy. So I was like, oh, wow, great. So they're really trying to be a watchdog on how money is used in politics. Well, you go to my number two, which is called Follow the Donations, click again on it, and you can go to where their funders are. And you suddenly find out that one of their funders is the Open Society Foundation, which is funded by George Soros. It's like, oh, okay, so it's a foundation to build vibrant and inclusive democracies whose governments are accountable to their citizens. And you're thinking, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. So they're donating money to this, but it sounds reasonable at this point. You dig a little deeper and you go to a site or a page on this site called Expenditures, which shows the Act Blue Charities. You scroll to the bottom of that page, and what you come up with, and this is the direct charity from Black Lives Matters, you come up with the top vendors and the recipients of the donations from Black Lives Matters, and George Soros has his hand in here too as a funder. And you see that the vendors are, number one, Bernie 2020, so Bernie Sanders. Number two, Biden for president. Number three, Elizabeth Warren, Presidential Exploratory Committee. Then Pete for America. Then Democratic Congressional Campaigns. And it goes on and on. And guys, I'm like, so hold on. When you donate to Black Lives Matter, you're now funding a particular side of the government, of the political parties. It's just very interesting. I don't know how you guys feel about this. I was stunned when I saw this. I thought this was supposed to be an open and organization that's analyzing how money is used, and it seems very specifically funneled one way. And to me, it puts a face on some of the chaos that's being created. I know we don't want to get super political here, guys, but we are seeing forces at work. Here's direct evidence that there are people within our governments, we've talked about it for weeks, that are causing trouble, that are stirring things up. I don't know how you two feel about this.
Well, naturally disgusted, but on the other hand, it's not a surprise because I think it's widespread. I mean, I think we'll come to it later this evening as well when we talk with our guest about 5G. So much is inverted. So much is, I've said in the last week or so, I think it's like we're living in a hall of mirrors, and it's very difficult to discern what is the difference between, the reflection or the reality. And one of the things that I'm slightly confused about, I'm not there yet in my mind, is that the symbolism behind what's going on as well. I mean, the mask is a symbol of not speaking. A mask is some of our guests have called it a muzzle. Max Egan called it a muzzle the other day. But the mask is also something which is prevents breathing. And then we have the other symbol, which is kneeling. Kneeling is subservience. Kneeling is, it can also be subservience, but also can be paying honor to somebody as well. And yet we had the incident between George Floyd and the police officer, ex-police officer, who was kneeling on his neck and preventing him from breathing. So in my mind, there's a lot of very strange symbolism, which is very, very mixed up. Some people are kneeling in honor. Some people are kneeling in subservience. Some people are kneeling as a way of killing. So I'm not clear where I'm going with this yet, but what I'm saying is I'm sensing there's something here, and it's not straightforward. And I think what it's doing is it's mixing people up. It's mixing people up, their programs, their ideas, their ideals, things that we've been sort of, you know, taught, shown by example when we were younger. We're all coming to this point. This, you know, a lot of things are coming to fruition now, but there's an awful lot of illusion mixed up with the reality. So perhaps I'll, when my mind clears, I'll come out with a sort of a definitive sentence. But Andrew, in all honesty, I think it's a very confusing world at the moment. And I think that people more than ever need to trust their instinct and to remain positive. And it's very, very simple. At the end of the day, positive thinking begets positive outcomes. And it's just as simple as that, in my opinion.
And doing your homework. I mean, like Tim said off the top, we provide a lot of links here, and they're going into our database here under the auspices of theothersideofmidnight.com. But you can read into this stuff. It's amazing. I want to bring attention to two more items of mine, if you'll indulge me. My number three is, well, the title is Social Distancing Was Born from a Teenager Science Project. So I don't know if you, I think I might have shared this with you guys, but essentially, there's been no studies done around this whole concept of social distancing. 14 years ago, a 15-year-old a high school sophomore, I forget her name and where she's from exactly, but she was from Indianapolis. Her name was Laura Glass. She was her father was a scientist. He was like a senior scientist in some sort of laboratory, and she came up with this idea that, well, if pandemics broke out across the world, what would be a good idea to sort of slow the effect of the spread? And she said, well, we could, you know, have distances and shut down schools. In other words, separate people. And, you know, it's not a bad idea. It is good. But there's been no testing in it. And apparently the George W. Bush administration at the time, after 9/11, sort of were seeking ideas, you know, after post 9/11 and the possible threat of bioterrorism, this kind of thing. And so the father of this young girl, who was 15 at the time, he thought, oh, this is a model that could work quite well. So it was actually adopted into the administration as a model going forward, not based on any testing, guys, based on sort of computer modeling, which I suppose is some sort of test. But what exactly are we basing our policies now worldwide on? And by the way, this girl eventually, she never pursued science. She actually pursued religious studies. And she will not be allowed to be contacted to discuss her science project when she was a sophomore. I want to bring attention to one more link and then a couple more comments. Now, my number four is called How a Porn Star and a Sci-Fi Writer Influence World Health Organization Policies on Hydroxychloroquine, I always have a hard time saying that, with fake data. So this very obscure U.S.-based company called Surgisphere was behind a whole series of basically fake data, and that prestigious medical journals like Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine basically published their studies about basically saying hydroxychloroquine is not a good method for, you know, helping alleviate as a treatment for COVID-19. Then it was discovered this company, which has been around, I believe, since 2014. I could be wrong about that. It's been around for a while. Well, its employees included a marketing executive who moonlights as a porn star. And one of its science editors is actually a sci-fi writer. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in an upside-down world. It is just... it's coming through. Like, the confusion is caused literally by governments and media not even having verified, vetted, and true data or data sources to create policy. One more link I want to point to, and I apologize in advance for doing this, guys, but I just think it's really important. Last night on Fox News, I believe it was last night, could have been the night before, Tucker Carlson, I think is a very, very good commentator, did a 10-minute discourse on the current affairs. And essentially, the headline is, we were lied to about the coronavirus and the mass lockdowns. He has basically, guys, summarized everything we've discussed for the last 2.5 months in 10 minutes on mainstream. It's unbelievable. The whole thing is falling apart. The distractions are coming fast and furious. And everybody, well, not everybody, but 20% of people, and I believe it's growing, are firmly not buying the narrative anymore. And I'll give you guys a chance. I'll start breathing again. But I had to get all that out there.
Well, I think that these are very valid points, Andrew. And it's great to hear. If I went through my list, we'd be at the end of the show before we bring our guests on. But I mean, these are very, very topical and valid points. I think that from my point of view, what I'm seeing this week is the reason why I included so many links is because I think there's so much good news is not necessarily what I'd describe it as, but certainly, shall I say, illuminating news. You know, a lot of people have been out there now, as you say, for like sort of, you know, 10, 11 weeks, whatever it is now. And they've done a lot of research. Some people have made documentaries. Some people have written papers. Some people have become whistleblowers and made documentaries. There's an awful lot of information coming out, coming to light. And I think it's really reaching a critical mass. And that's why I'm saying, I'm sort of dubbing it as good news. Good news is probably, let's simply say positive news. Positive direction is a better way to describe it.
And so I just, go ahead.
Good evening.
No, I apologize. Go ahead. I thought you were complete. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Cynthia. What would you like to say?
No, I just want to underline what you're saying about the positive news is that I want to point out that we're doing this show, not to scare people with all the things that we're uncovering, but also to highlight the positive action that's happening, the steps that individuals are taking and that groups are taking, and how together we're becoming more and more conscious. And I want to speak a little bit about how we're maneuvering through what I consider the multiverse. And that is, you were mentioning it, Timothy, about staying positive. And I would point to you to notice as you're reading through the materials or you're going through them, if you notice yourself in reaction and fear, then take a deep breath, get quiet, and see what positive action comes forward. Because these things are being revealed to us, not to paralyze us, but to show us where we need to rethink it, where we need to bring order, where we need to dump out the garbage, if you will. And so, you know, I myself posting all these links from everyone and also the weekend shows, I get so inundated and sometimes I feel overwhelmed. And I have to say, it's like shocking, all the material. But then I think, okay, I don't want to be with my head in the sand. I do want to be discerning. So let me discern from a sense of confidence and peace. Let me not go into reaction from fear. And that's really what I want to encourage everyone. And I want to say, we're looking for the actions that are happening that are life-changing, that are for the entire world. And I also want to invite you, if things are happening in your life that are showing how we're moving forward in a positive way, send it to us. Send it to me. I would love to see them and post them. So I'll turn it back to both of you.
I was also going to say that, you know, these are early days, but we also have a Facebook page for The Other Side of the News. We have an Instagram page also. And Andrew, I believe we have Twitter as well, don't we?
Yes. Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, these sites, even though they're very, I mean, for instance, something like Twitter, you have a limited number of, you know, letters that you can use in your posts, but you can put links in there and, you know, you can, some people actually write stories. They just keep sending their posts out, you know, like one after another. So you can sort of follow a string. But, you know, guys, I mean, there are things happening that are, you know, pretty frightening. We see what's happening in Seattle with this Antifa group that's basically taken over 6 city blocks and taken over a police precinct and decided that they're going to establish a their own country in the middle of downtown Seattle, which is close to me. I mean, it's like a couple hours drive and I could be in downtown Seattle from where I live. Mm-hmm. And, Yeah, and then look, I know on this show we've really, folks out there, we've really tried to sort of stay clear of being, political. I mean, our guest last week talked about the extreme polarity of, for instance, the American politics being, very red or very blue. And I don't think that's just contained to the United States. I think we see that all over the planet, to be honest with you. I know in our country we see it, and I think that is coming through in Canada. And I think it's pretty clear that at least in the Western world, we get a lot of that. But, there are some threats out there. I mean, you get a whole lot of thugs coming in and just basically deciding they're going to take over a whole down or part of a downtown core. And it's like, well, at what point does our leadership have to sort of say, hey, enough is enough? And, some of the people are describing it as like as a street festival, and it's this wonderful occasion. But these are people that are armed with, AR-15s, I believe, and they're masked, and it's under what banner? What's really interesting is in that whole case, my son again told me that apparently, I'm not sure how this happened, but there was a group of homeless people that essentially stole all their food and supplies from this group in Seattle, so they were kind of caught short without their food. There are people, even those that are, a little more streetwise, literally, that are, I guess, helping themselves, but in on some level, perhaps helping to maybe extinguish some of this, silliness and ridiculousness that's going on. And it's not just in the United States, guys. It's this kind of thing is happening all over the planet. Statues are being brought down. And I know we want to keep positive. I get it that way. But I also think we have to bring light to it and speak up about it when the time comes. And so I just had to get that off my chest, you guys. And there it is.
Well, it's good to get things off your chest, Andrew. Absolutely. Or should I call you Tony?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'd like to add, in Annetta's items, her number two link is positive ideas on ways that we can create change. So be sure and check out Annetta, our researcher, our brilliant behind-the-scene researcher. Check out her link number two.
Well, I think, without stating the obvious, one of the very clear things that's happened is whereas everybody was huddled away, hidden away at home with their masks on and antisocial distancing and so on and so on, a lot of people are together on the streets there and there's this whole confusion of I saw interviews this week between two British police and activists were saying, so are the antisocial distancing laws still in play? And they said, absolutely, yes. So is it okay to take part in the protest? Yes, absolutely. So there's absolute confusion on all levels. So is this a smokescreen? Is this a way for those that made the mistake, these incredibly smart fact-checking societies or companies, which then advised, sort of major governments or major companies, organizations, they can't go back. They can't admit they were wrong. So I really do wonder if all of this problems and trouble and so on is just a smokescreen to sort of distract everybody. And then, the next piece of news will roll down the road in another week's time. So I have to say I'm very unsettled by it. But on the other hand, what I do see, and again, reflecting on the large amount of material that I found, which I'd say is positive signs of coming out of the COVID crisis, is that, we are evolving. Call it there are collateral damages, there are things going wrong, but as a whole world from the COVID situation, we are absolutely moving, I think, upwards from where we used to be.
And we're at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. Our guest tonight is Daphna Takeover. The show is called 5G, a Trojan Horse, and we'll be back after the break.
theothersideofmidnight.com. Tune in to listen to Richard C. Hoagland and his fascinating guests. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive member benefits. As a Club 19.5 member, you'll gain access to the rest of this show and all previous 350 episodes. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Support the broadcast that provides you with the most interesting conversation available. Talk radio at the cutting edge of science and thought. TheOtherSideOfMidnight.com.
Welcome back to The Other Side of the News. To find tonight's show page, please go to theothersideofmidnight.com and click on the show banner for Daphna Talkover. The show is called 5G, a Trojan Horse, and tonight is Friday, June 12th. So I want to bring on our guest. I'm going to share with you a little information about her. Daphna Talkover is the director of 5G and Wireless Harms Project of the Children's Health Defense, a nonprofit organization chaired by Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s, dedicated to eliminating the epidemic of chronic sickness in children. Daphna is also the founder of the Evidence and Advocacy Organization for the Protection of the Rights of the many adults and children who have been injured by wireless technology radiation. So it's a very extensive bio here on the page, and I invite you to check it over and savor it, actually. Welcome, Daphna, to the show.
Hi, Cynthia. Thank you.
So I feel so honored to have you join us because we have a lot of questions, and maybe we should just start with the basics of, you know, how you would describe 5G.
Yeah, I think a lot of there's a lot of information and a lot of misinformation and a lot of confusing information. 5G is defined as the next generation wireless. G stands for generations. We had 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G. So now we are at 5G. But there's a huge difference between what happened until now and where we're going from here. So 1G to 4G was really about connecting people. So 1G was talk, 2G was talk and text, 3G was talk, text, and some data. You know, you could read your emails. 4G was talk, text, and a lot of data. You can, you know, you do everything and anything online. 5G is different. It's no longer about connecting people. It's now about connecting things. So it is the infrastructure for the Internet of Things and driverless cars and anything and everything that will come moving forward, including artificial intelligence. And that encompasses so many things. I mean, so where is it going to take us? You know, it's not what people are being told that, oh, yeah, you really should ask your legislator for 5G because 5G will allow you to download your movie instead of it's 8 seconds for 4 seconds. But it's really, that's not what 5G is about. That's not what's really funding $200 billion a year infrastructure. 5G is about data. And it's not data that will be taken from you for marketing. It's data that is going to be taken for artificial intelligence, which within 10 years is estimated to take away 40% of our workforce and take us to the next level, which is transhumans, which we are part humans, part machine. And that is very real and not some conspiracy theory. It's basically taking us to a whole different world that I don't want to be part of. And people have no idea. And that's beyond, and there's the issues of surveillance. If you want to have the Internet of Things, it means that everything and everything is interconnected. So it means that everything in your house will have a transmitting device. Your refrigerator, your tea kettle have a transmitting antenna. They even have now diapers that have a transmitting antenna that texts the mother when the baby poops. So everything has an antenna. And everything transmits, and so you have to carry much more data. And that requires now 800,000 more cell towers are planned to be installed in our streets in the next 2 years, and they are being deployed now already. It means 50,000 planned satellites. Elon Musk and his SpaceX project, and that means...
Starlink.
Yeah, Starlink. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starlink. That's the name of the satellite. So, but the company is SpaceX, and that's like he had licenses. Now he got 12,000 licenses from the FCC. He submitted another application for 30,000 more satellites. But those satellites are not supposed to connect directly with our devices. They have to have an antennas on the ground to connect with this device, to connect between our devices to the satellites. That requires 1 million antennas on the ground to create that connection. And this is really what 5G and then having all the satellites and everything connecting all the time and surveillance. And there's just no more rights, no more people. And we were going to into transhumans, which we're really not going to be humans. And this is what
this
really...
Yeah, it really seems like a version of terraforming, only, you know...
It's a whole different world, and it's much, you know, it's not some faraway future. It's much closer than anyone can think.
And
it's happening.
So, what is your organization doing to slow this down, or even stop it? I hope, or somehow improve it.
So, I mean. I got to this topic because of health effects. I have a telecommunication background. I used to be a telecommunication and computer officer in Israel Defense Forces. I managed a computer center for the headquarters and operations center of the Army. And so I was you know, immersed in this technology. I used to love it. And then one day, no warning sign. It made me very, very sick. And, you know, when something that you used to love so much can destroy your life to the extent that it had, destroyed mine, and I actually lived in my car for 2 years because I could not be anywhere with wireless. I had to move to an isolated place. It's been quite a long journey, and then I started to read the science, and that was mind-blowing. It's literally mind-blowing. It seems that this technology that we've been using was proven harmful long before we ever commercialized cell phones. We started to use wireless technology in World War II, really, in a massive way, when we developed radars just like your cell phones use microwave frequencies. And our soldiers started to become sick, just like I have. And our military started to investigate it. Their report from, and after this call, I'll send you a link to everything and anything I'm mentioning, so people can go and read and verify it by themselves. In 1971, Navy published a report with 2,311 studies showing that this technology is harmful beyond any doubt. There's 5 pages listing all the different biologicals and health effects that were found to be resulting from this technology. And they updated the report in 1976. It had 3,700 studies. The report from the Air Force saying the profound effects, reports from NASA, reports, I mean, our government studied this. There was the EPA had a lab that was operating from 1971 to 1986, numerous studies showing effects. The first effects that were found by the Navy. The Navy found that it's causing auditory effect, that it's a breakthrough blood-brain barrier, which is supposed to prevent toxin from getting to your brain. So we have a lot of science, and that's how I got to it. And then, you know, I worked on this issue. I took a Supreme Court case in Israel to ban the use of Wi-Fi in schools because I had... Yeah.
Daphne, may I just ask you a question? Because you're going at hyperspeed at the moment, and I'm never going to get back to...
And I'm speaking really slow today.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'd like to ask you which brand of coffee you use later. But so may I ask you, if it's not too personal, and please say no or shut up, whatever you want to do. But when you said you had developed some symptoms, which were not obviously very positive from being in this sort of Wi-Fi environment, what sort of symptoms did you experience? Because I think a lot of people out there, you know, we all have how many Wi-Fi units in our houses and in our streets and in our offices and so on. We all have our cell phones and our laptops and everything around us. But what would be the first signs to sort of show that you are actually suffering from this environment? Could you share something?
Of course. I mean, I'm glad you asked that question. That's actually really important because I believe that at least 20-30% of the people already have those symptoms. So for most people, you'll feel the first symptoms would be tingling in the fingers or pain in the head when you use a cell phone or near a wireless emitting device. And that is not something to disregard because science shows that it's actually symptoms of pretty severe injuries in your body if you start experiencing these symptoms. Then you have headaches, sleep disturbances. A lot of people get heart palpitations, especially from smart. I mean, the dumbest thing that we came up with recently is the eye watches. So people buy them because it's supposed to help them monitor their heart and help them stay fit. Well, the way these eye watches measure your heart is by sending 300 to 400 pulses a second.
That's a good idea.
And while they're doing it, they just mess up your heart. And I'm encouraging everyone. That's my sport. Every time I go on the street and see someone with an eye watch, I said, "Hey, do you have heart palpitations?" 50% of the people say yes. And then when I kind of like ask them another question, they figure out that they started when they got the watch. So headaches, heart palpitations, sleep disturbances. A lot of people get nosebleeds, especially from cell towers. Auditory effects, people hear ringing.
Is that like tinnitus, that type of thing?
Yes. And how many people you know that don't have it nowadays? And essentially that's the first thing that was the first study that was conducted by our government, by the US Navy, showed that this is causing auditory effects. They actually show that if you pulse the radiation in different ways, the frequencies, it's causing different sounds in your brain. And that sickness that we had now with a mystery sickness of the diplomats in Cuba and China, it was proven that was causing it. They were getting this auditory effect, and there's a professor, Beatrice Gollum from University of California, San Diego. She published an amazing paper and showed conclusively that what they were suffering from were essentially microwave-based weapons, which are the same as your wireless technology. You just pulse the frequencies in different ways and you create different physiological effects. And you can create different auditory sounds. So when our Navy studied it, they showed that if you pulse it in one way, it's causing this kind of sound. If you pulse it in this way, it's causing another sound. And so the ringing is another symptom. People can get seizures even from this. Nausea, especially for children, because it's affecting our nervous system.
And also children, the thickness of the skull has not yet developed in children. I believe that's makes a higher risk factor in the whole equation.
It is. So what happened with this technology, because our body, you know, our body is electric, you know, your brain is electric, your heart is electric, your nervous system is electric, your cells communicate electrically. So we forget that this technology, it's electricity, and it's in levels which are, and that's an accurate number, quintillion time higher than what our body evolved to tell you it. Quintillion, that's 1 and 18 zeros after it. So the levels of radiation about 30 years ago, 40 years ago, compared to now, are quintillion times higher. And it affects our body in different ways. It doesn't affect only one system. It affects numerous systems. And when it comes to children, it has various effects. It's first of all, as you said, the skull is thinner, so the radiation can penetrate more easily into the brain. The brains are smaller, so it can get to larger part of the brain and affect different part of the brain. And since their nervous system is developing, it's also more susceptible to this electricity, which messes up their brain. And there was a study that was done, two studies that were done by the government of Switzerland recently on hundreds of teenagers. And they showed that 1 year of cell phone use affect their memory, and if they use it on the right side, it's the damage is worse, and it really depends on which side they use it, which kind of their damage there is, but it's definitely affecting the memory, and that would be another symptom. Another symptom for most people is cognitive and memory problem. Like if you suddenly don't know why you cannot remember names, and you know that information in there, and you can just cannot access it. That's what it does. If I'm in an environment with Wi-Fi, there's no memory. I just cannot remember basic words, cannot remember names, cannot remember what I want to say. It affects my speech. I was giving a lecture in some law school in New York, and there was a Wi-Fi router 3 feet away from my brain. I have serious difficulties not only thinking but actually speaking. And when it comes to children, there's the cancer issue for everyone. So cancer is, for children, it's worse because their cells multiply much faster than adults, like double the speed, and that's increased the rates of mutations, the chances of mutation, which leads to cancer. This radiation was shown to cause oxidative stress that can link to cancer, non-cancer conditions, and DNA breakage. And it was actually our government study that just found that. There was a study that was done by the National Toxicology Program, which is the NIH, ES, and they did a $25 million study, 10-year study, and their study came out, say, clear evidence this radiation causing cancer and breaks your DNA. So cigarettes cause cancer, this causes cancer and breaks your DNA. But instead of warning the people, as the scientists recommended, our FDA said, well, that study doesn't apply to human.
Definitely. So May I just cut in again, because I just wanted to ask you, is there, in your opinion, a correlation between a weakened immune system and a Wi-Fi environment or radiation from transmitters? Yes. Or 5G?
There's numerous studies that show that it's impacting your immune system, but it's really interesting, and that's exactly what's the issue with this technology. So the studies that showed that if you're exposed to this radiation for a short time, it's actually going to in some ways improve your immune system. But then if it's a longer time, it starts to harm your immune system. So because we are electric beings, this affects us, and it can affect us in positive and negative ways. So you can go to get a treatment when you break your bones. They can give you pulsed electromagnetic fields to help the bones heal faster, and it works. But mm-hmm. That same electromagnetic field, that same pulsation, if it will pulse differently, it could harm you different ways. But even that same pulsation can harm you if you do it long term. So there's a lot of complexities when it comes to this technology. It can do bad things or good things. There's studies that show, for example, if you use your cell phone, your brain will work faster, but you will make more mistakes. Because there's studies that show that it's increasing the glucose metabolism in your brain. Again, that explains why maybe your brain works faster, but again, it can also create more mistakes. So there's a lot of effects. I mean, we are electric beings, and this is affecting us. So is it affecting your immune system? Yes. And there are numerous studies that show that it does affect our immune system. It's also causing autoimmune system. It's causing inflammation that leads to oxidative stress. Again, leads to cancer, non-cancer condition, DNA damage. There is an increase in Alzheimer. Now there are people in the 30s and 40s with Alzheimer. Definitely a lot of studies correlating this.
There are a lot of people out there that have various theories about this COVID-19 event. And there's a whole group of them out there which are saying that, in fact, there's no COVID-19 at all, and everything is caused directly by 5G, for example. And maybe we're jumping around too early, but what would you say to that theory?
No evidence.
No evidence.
No, and it's so hypothetical. It's so not like there's a virus out there that's causing sickness, and it's causing it in places with 5G and in places without 5G. And you see cities that you have 5G, and like Los Angeles has 5G, New York City has 5G. Los Angeles doesn't have a lot of people with coronavirus. New York City has a lot of people with coronavirus. It's actually not helpful for us, those who fight to stop this insanity. They actually help the other side try and dismiss us and call us even more easily conspiracy theorists, and suggest that everyone who says that 5G is dangerous is basically saying that there's a COVID-19 conspiracy. So no evidence, and the Children's Health Defense has been very clear about it. It doesn't mean that the media doesn't try to suggest otherwise, but no, I don't see any evidence, and I've been reading a lot of it. From moment one, I knew there's no connection. Could it be that for some people, the fact that you live near a 5G tower will affect your immune system? Absolutely. If you're a person with a lactose sensitivity already, basically develop those symptoms and you get the coronavirus, will you have more difficulties healing? Yes, and I see a lot of people who have lactose sensitivity. Other members of their family got sick and healed. They got sick, healed, but got bronchitis after that because their immune system is mitigated already.
One of the factors I find very interesting in all of this is that while it seems that the authorities and the governments and the main contractors seem hell-bent on continuing to put up 5G in many, many countries around the planet, even when, you know, the whole country's on lockdown or the world is by and large on lockdown, the 5G is still going ahead. It's being put up in schools, in hospitals. It's being put up in various places, I believe. But yet there's only currently one phone manufacturer that's actually providing a phone which is 5G capable so far. So why on earth is there this great enthusiasm to, you know, significantly transform the face of the planet with 5G when in fact the public themselves don't really get the benefit? I mean, we're ultimately, you know, being sold this idea, we can download a movie, a game faster and faster. I know it's about data, but I'm just wonder, you know, at what point does it become sinister? Because, you know, there seems to be so much enthusiasm and yet there's not really any demand for it yet. 4G is pretty fast already.
Exactly. If you ask if people need it, people absolutely don't need it. Do you need your laundry machine to talk to yourself? Or no, you do not. So there's two things. So 4G or 3G, it's actually a technology. It's a specific technology. 5G, it's not a technology. It's also part of it, which is an actual technology, but it's a concept. So any and every antenna that is part of the 5G infrastructure is considered 5G. So right now, actually, most of the antenna that are being deployed are 4G antennas. They're not millimeter waves antenna. I think that what you're referring to is the millimeter waves antennas. That's the confusion. So maybe I'll explain to the people also what's the millimeter wave so they understand the difference. So
please do, yes.
Yes. So what happens is like when, you know, I'll do a quick basic. So, you know, when we talk on the phones, when we hear the radio, when we send a text, all of this is information that we're transferring on waves. Those waves are also called frequencies. And the difference between the wave of the sun, which is an electromagnetic frequency, or the cell phone, or the radio, is how many oscillations per second that wave has. Another word for wave is a frequency. So a frequency or a wave of 1 hertz means one oscillation per second. A frequency of the house electricity, it's 60 hertz, and it's 60 oscillations per second. Wi-Fi frequency is 2,450,000,000 oscillations per second. So if the house electricity is a low frequency, the Wi-Fi is a very high frequency. And all of these frequencies are part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And we divide the spectrum to groups of frequencies because each group has a little bit different characteristics. The frequencies we use for wireless technology are in group of frequencies which are called microwave frequencies. In fact, the frequency that is used for the microwave oven is the same frequency we use for Wi-Fi, the 2.45 gigahertz, between 2,450,000,000 hertz. So right now we're using frequencies for wireless technology somewhere between 900 megahertz, which means 900 million hertz, to around 6 gigahertz, which means 6 billion hertz. And those are microwave frequencies. Millimeter waves are also microwave frequencies. They also belong to the microwave frequencies group, but they're a little bit higher on that group. So they go somewhere between 20 gigahertz to 90 gigahertz. And we call them millimeter waves because they have so many oscillations per second that the distance between the oscillations is in millimeters. That's why they're called millimeter waves. Now, millimeter waves, why do we want to use them for 5G? Because 5G is about data, and you need to transfer more data. The higher the frequency is, the more data it can carry. And so millimeter waves can carry more data than the lower frequencies that we currently use. But the problem with millimeter waves is they don't travel well. Well, they can travel well, but they're easily obstructed by things in our environment. So if there's a tree or there is a wall or there is even a door, it blocks it. So if you want to have continuous transmission, you want to have them in very close proximity. But because of those limitations, not all companies using it. Actually, T-Mobile did not buy millimeter waves from the FCC, from the Federal Communication Commission. They actually brought a lower frequency of 600 megahertz. So 5G, it's not about millimeter waves. Part of the 5G infrastructure is millimeter waves antennas. But as I said, most of the antennas that are being deployed for the 5G infrastructure are 4G antennas. Some of the antennas are millimeter waves antennas. Now, that's why, because if you have millimeter wave antenna and you don't have a phone with a millimeter wave antenna, your phone would not get the 5G of the millimeter wave. So How is it that you right now see on your phone 5G? It's because that 5G is comprised actually mostly from 4G antennas. But they have more of those antennas in closer proximity, some technology that makes them a bit faster, and that's why you have a 5G network, although you have a 4G phone, because most of it is 4G antennas. So it is higher speed. It's more antennas everywhere to get more data, and that is really what's the importance is. That's why you need so many antennas everywhere, and the speed is just really the excuse. Okay. We just need the data.
Where I'm a little bit confused on this, and I know there's a break coming up in about 2.5 minutes, but where I'm a little bit confused about this is if the 5G technology, the millimeter waves, are in the same realm as microwaves, which is the same realm as a microwave oven, and also the same realm as radar, for example, then how is it that a radar can see through certain materials and 5G cannot see through trees or simple things like walls and divisions of houses?
That's exactly the oscillations per second. As I said, the higher frequency, the more easily they are being blocked.
I see.
And that's why there is a difference even between those 20 gigahertz or the 2.45 gigahertz is a huge difference. The Wi-Fi frequency will pass more through materials rather than the millimeter wave frequencies. And radars are actually not some of them design actually not, it's not the fact that they penetrate that helps you. It's the fact that actually they reflect back. So if you have an airplane and that radar will touch the airplane, which is metal, it will reflect back. And that's where it's the signal is coming back, how far things are from you, right? If it would just go pass through, you would never know that there is a plane there.
True. I wasn't thinking it would pass through metal. I thought it would pass through organic materials. But
exactly. But that would be more. So it's depends, and that's why you use different frequencies. Also, you use different modulations. There's different ways. I mean, that's why it's so complex. I mean, our ability to use this technology is so varied, and so are the impacts on our body because of our ability to manipulate those frequencies in different ways. And okay. For example, radar has what's called a square signal.
It's we not need like to hold it signal. There. I apologize, but we're going to the top of the hour break. We'll pick that up on the other side. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. Our guest tonight is Daphna Takover. And the show is called 5G, a Trojan Horse. Thank you.
theothersideofmidnight.com. Talk radio with pictures on demand. Liberate your hyperdimensional time scale and non-linearly access over 400 hours of conversation at the cutting edge of science and thought. Join Club 19.5 to get access to exclusive content that fits your interests and time schedule. Filter episodes by guest or subject. Membership costs $9.95 a month, 33 cents a day. Talk radio with pictures on demand. Theothersideofmidnight.com.
Welcome back to The Other Side of the News. To find our show page, please go to theothersideofmidnight.com and click on tonight's show banner, which is 5G, a Trojan horse. Our guest is Daphna Takover, and we're engaged in a very detailed conversation about 5G and its impacts, and I'd like to turn it back to you. Thank you. Welcome, Daphna, again.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you.
Daphna, it's Andrew here. I have a couple of questions for you, if I may. You mentioned early when you started that you were quite enthusiastic about technology in general. And you mentioned working for the Israeli Defense Forces and sort of being involved in that world. And then it was, you know, I'm sort of pulling you back here, but I just wanted to get to the core of something here. So you kind of outline your enthusiasm for electronics. And, you know, when we look at our world, handheld devices, I mean, even with my children, it's always a wrestle, you know, and the rules have to be put very carefully around the usage of devices and personal devices and these kinds of things. So there's a real enthusiasm, is what I'm trying to say here, for, you know, electronic devices, digital devices, easy access, instant communication. You know, we're getting stuff so fast now that it is overwhelming, and as we outlined a little earlier, it can be very, very confusing. And as you've laid out to us, there's a lot of, you know, reports out there that may not be picked up by the mainstream all the time, or at least the groups that have a vested interest in implementing this 5G system. But it's also, you know, very confusing for the public because, you know, like you say, there could be conspiracy theories thrown onto your kind of work when there is no clear connection from your perspective and the work that you do that, for instance, COVID-19 has a connection to 5G. So what I'm trying to get at is your enthusiasm for, you know, all things high tech. I realize what you said is that the health issue began to become a problem, but was there anything else? Like, you were enthusiastic. How did that change over? How did you cross over that membrane, you know, besides the health part? Does that make sense?
Well, first of all, you know, the health kind of like forced me not to touch it. And I'm really grateful for that, because if I look around me, sorry if I'm offending anyone, people look to me like zombies. They don't communicate. They look at the phone all the time. They're so addicted to it. There's just no human communication. I think that messes up a lot of things in our world right now. And so I'm grateful that I cannot use this technology because it's harmful to me. And I do want to make, it's clear. I mean, we're not objecting technology. We are just wanting safe technology. But I think that once I started, for me, it's actually, that was the switch. I was in the Catskills. When I got sick, I moved to the Catskills, which is in upstate New York. It's very isolated and scarcely populated nature reserve. So I moved there because I needed to stay away from people, from wireless, to give my body a chance to even sustain this a little bit better. And that was exactly those years where people started to use iPhones or you know, smartphones and become addicted to them. And I didn't leave the Catskills for 3 years because I couldn't physically. And and when I did was directly to take a flight to Israel to participate in a Supreme Court case I submitted against the government on the issue of the Wi-Fi in schools. And I was in shock. I mean, the society I lived in 3 years ago, 3 years prior, was completely different than the society 3 years after I left. I mean, immediately after I left the Catskills, like, society changed. I mean, people were addicted to their phones. They didn't look at each other. They don't look at the children. That was shocking to me. People would go to a restaurant, nobody would look at each other, they just look at the phones. And that's kind of like, I remember like posting on Facebook, and for the next year, I think like 50% of my posting were about the social impact, not just only on the health impacts. When I finished the case and I came back, I learned that, you know, about 5G, when nobody heard about it, and I was horrified. I just saw what's going to happen. And that's why I really came back to the U.S. and to start working on a 5G. And there were like four of us at the FCC announcement in July 2016 announcing the 5G and fast-tracking 5G. And we started this whole campaign. And I just saw where this is all taking us. And then you start learning more and more about it. And you understand where this is all heading. And it's not just really about technology anymore. This is about transhumans and control and surveillance. And you just, you know, it's a process. And I'm grateful it is a process. If I had to learn everything I did in one day, I would be even more devastated than I am. It just, right. It's mind-blowing.
So Daphne, it's interesting. But I guess what I'm trying to say is another thing you talked about, because, you know, you had an enthusiasm for the technology, which, like I say, a lot of young people do. As Tim mentioned, maybe you mentioned, but anyways, this network is being... you know, hooked up. I mean, I just saw an ad here. Let me just bring it up. I'll just put it in front of my face. It was, it came up on something, I can't find it, but it was some sort of Nokia phone. And it said, it was announcing 5G, and it was like, just, you know, vibrating on my phone, this whole ad for the, you know, the new phone that's coming out, and be ready for it, and et cetera, et cetera. But you did mention something about there might be some qualities of this technology that could be helpful. And, you know, we sort of started off the show talking about, whoa, we got all this, you know, this upheaval on our planet and this confusion, and we're trying to find positive ways. And you mentioned something about, you know, in smaller doses, these technologies, something like, I don't know if you meant 5G in particular, but you said
I talk about the electromagnetic fields, because we're electromagnetic beings. These have biological effects. So any and every frequency would have biological effects.
Right.
More, less, bad, good. There are a lot of effects, but they definitely affect us. And if we use them in some ways, it will create maybe short-term positive effect, but long-term negative effects, or vice versa, or if we pulse them in certain way, they create auditory effect. If we create, we'll pulse them in different way, they will create another effect. So they're very complex because they're affecting our body. I think, though, you know, when I go and talk to legislators, if I tell them, okay, you know, we need to stop all this wireless technology, they're just going to throw me out of the door. And so there has to be solutions, and there are solutions. Sadly, and that's where I'm coming from, I already acknowledge that we're not going to get rid of wireless technology. We became too dependent on it. It became kind of like almost a necessity in the way our economy is built on right now. But we do have a duty to make it safer, and there are ways to make it safer, again, because it's bioactive. So you can develop modulations, which mean how position modulation, which means how you put the data over the wireless wave, that will be less bioactive, that will be less agitating your nervous system.
So Daphne, is this something that you're going to legislate to get them to do that? I mean, I see that you're seeing some solutions. My question is, how is this going to come about, and how can we, the ordinary individual, or the unique individuals that we are, what can we do, and what is being done?
Yeah, and Daphne, before you answer that, I want to, and excuse me, Kinthea, I want to layer over one more little piece for you, kind of bridging from what Kinthea is saying. So, you know, there was a time when cigarette smoking was considered, you know, a normal thing to do. In fact, if you go onto YouTube and listen to great old radio shows, there's like these, you know, ads for tobacco and, you know, whatever. Smoke this cigarette. You know, 9 out of 10 doctors in the United States say this is a great tasting cigarette. So, you know, we there was a time when we didn't really understand that product. And then now if you look it up under, tobacco and its damages, we know that it's like, you know, whatever number of chemicals that are in tobacco. And yet if we look at sort of traditional First Nations populations, for them, tobacco is, you know, has medical and cultural influences in their societies, and like in many of their teachings, the smoke burned from burning tobacco has the purpose of carrying thoughts and prayers to the spirit world or to, you know, the creator. So in a traditional sense, if it's handled appropriately, that particular product, it's not associated with addiction and adverse health issues. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that it is, just like Kinthea said, is there a way of, you know, since we have these technologies, is there a way of augmenting it or changing it somehow that we can get, you know, a positive side of it? And it's interesting, you know, tobacco smoke carrying thoughts to the creator. I mean, that's kind of what our wireless technology is doing. And it feels like humanity is attempting to pick up on our traditional society's, you know, ideas of having this instant communication or communicating with something. So I'm sorry to go on, but it's just, I you know, are there ways to find a light in this process?
I think this is a really complicated, I mean, it's much easier to answer this when you talk about tobacco. I think it's much more complex when you talk about wireless technology because it has so many facets. It's like were you talking about the health effect? Are you talking about the technology effect? Are you talking about the social effects? Are you talking about, so it really depends on which level we're talking. I can tell you that for me right now, the way this whole thing looks like, I remember, like, even before I got sick, it just looked to me a little bit like the Babel Tower, that we're trying to become God. And this is bound to collapse, because, you know, just like God confused people's language, and this is really what's going on now. We don't know who we are anymore. We're trying to become transhumans because we want to be more and more. And this is not sustainable in any way, and it's definitely not biologically sustainable. So all of these mountains that we're building around this wireless technology are ignoring the fact that we are electric being, and this is adversely affecting us, and it is affecting us. So you cannot continue and force more and more of this on us, because we're collapsing and people are collapsing. So there's, I think on a social level, do you like what you see around you? I absolutely don't. So if you're talking about, I just think that overall it just created misery. Can you use it in positive ways? Probably you could have. But unfortunately, right now, especially in this current world, which is, all of you spoke about it before, there's seriously, things are pretty dark. I mean, we live in a world where truths become lies. I mean, lies becomes truth, and truths become conspiracy theory. We live in a world where mind control everything, where you have over information. You cannot believe anything on anything anymore you read. A world where the media is completely controlled by the same industries, industries control the media completely when it comes to wireless. I mean, the wireless companies are literally owning all the media. AT&T owns Time Warner. Yahoo owns Verizon and AOL. Amazon, which is now a telecom company essentially, owns Washington Post. Carlos Slim, who is one of the world's richest people, owns New York Times. And he's a telecom entrepreneur. So it just, our media is controlled. Other media, social media, is also controlled. Now they're starting to censor. Our organization is being censored by Facebook. Pages that mention 5G are being censored. We live in a really weird world. And as long as we do not change how things are done, we change the political system, we put proper safeguards, this is always going to be abused. And the way we can abuse these technologies are overwhelming. And we see it all around us now.
This is one of the points that I was amazed at, not surprised, but amazed at today. I was watching a documentary. It's fairly recently issued or made available to people. It's called in fact, it's a very similar name to our title of the show this evening. It's the 5G Trojan Horse. It's very, very similar indeed.
Yeah,
by Derek Brose.
Fantastic, yeah.
And it's an hour and a half long. I posted it tonight because I thought it was very well done and very well researched. But I could not believe how a matter of speech, but I could not believe how the people who are supposed to be defending the people, the people who are qualified, who the government rely on to defend the public from for safety, in terms of technology, the people who should be judging if this technology is safe to use are also somehow connected, taking commissions or on the board of or part of the company or part of the supplier. The whole thing is so utterly corrupt. So
yes, it's called, yeah, you talk about the captured agency. There's a Harvard report from 2015 called Captured Agency, How the FCC is Controlled by the Industries It's Supposed to Regulate. And yeah, I mean, the head of the FCC is Ajit Pai, who is the Verizon attorney. The previous head of the FCC is Tom Wheeler, who used to be the head of the wireless, of the telecom industry lobby association, just like the tobacco lobby association, for 14 years. And every other person in a FCC commission, the previous ones as well. So yeah, I mean, our government there's just no government.
There used to be a thing called the Monopolies Commission. I mean, that seems to be just a board game now, right? I mean, it looks like going back to Fauci. I mean, he has a financial interest and has patents in terms of COVID and so on. So these people who we sort of look on to rely on, or the government relies on for good advice, they're all on the take. It's unbelievable.
It goes much farther. Look at the donations. I mean, the wireless industry puts every year about $1 billion in lobbying money in DC. $1 billion a year.
Where does that go? I mean, is that going to individual hands, individual pockets, or is it sort of for marketing?
Different ways. I would go for marketing, DC parties, donation, of course, max donations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Tom Wheeler raised the previous head of the Telecom Lobby Association, who was the previous head of the FCC. He raised $700,000 for Obama to be elected. there's different ways, but this is what we know. Literally, this is the donations that are declared, lobbying money that are being declared as used for lobbying purposes. You can imagine that there's a lot of money that is not being declared. Every legislator in this country almost have a lobbyist assigned to it, not just in Congress, like on state legislator. AT&T has, and that's what I hear from a lot of people. So I do not know this for a fact, but I know from enough people who know it for a fact that they have a lobbyist per legislator. There are 463 lobbyists registered in Congress for the telecom industry, 463. So our Congress is bought off, our legislators are bought off, our media is owned by this industry, our social media is owned by this industry.
What can we do? What can we do?
Wake up. Wake up and do exactly what you do right now. This program, people need. Listen, and I'm not exaggerating. When we started this campaign, there were four of us who knew about this and started this whole campaign that now includes like hundreds of cities across the country, legislators, state countries that ban it, cities that ban it. 300 cities in Italy banned 5G. There are countries that ban 5G, and we literally started four people, and you just spread the information. I spent 3 years on the road, living out of my car, going community and community, giving lectures and awakening people. And every city I've been to, now they have an active group fighting this in their cities and municipalities, passing more ordinances. A lot of cities have passed ordinances that call for stop of 5G, limiting 5G, et cetera, whatever they can do within the rules. So we need to wake up. We need to demand change spread the truth. Yeah.
I hear that these cities are having some success. Is there some kind of template that could be shared that other cities could follow suit?
So it's a little bit more complicated from that than because, you know, we have different states. So most of the regulation on this issue are federal. They took the power from the states and the municipalities to regulate this issue. And so we have some templates, and I can send you the links later on in terms of like what they can adopt. But then there's also state legislators that may have the state legislation that may affect things. And also there's the municipality-owned legislation that may affect how and what you can do or cannot do. But overall, we're very limited in what we can do. So right now, there's one city, it's one town, it's called Eastern Connecticut. They actually took the boldest action so far. They called the 5G companies to cease and desist installation of 5G. Now, in the United States, you're not allowed to ban 5G. You're not allowed to really limit 5G. There's very, very little cities can do. But we find all kind of advice that we give municipalities into ways to bypass that. But FCC keep on coming up with more and more regulation to make it more and more impossible. But there are right now a lawsuit. There's a lawsuit in the Ninth Circuit of municipalities that sued the FCC for its 2018 regulation that limits their ability to regulate it. We submitted probably the most important lawsuit. Our organization submitted the lawsuit in February 2nd, 2020, a few months ago, against the FCC. We basically challenged the fact that the FCC refused to review its health guidelines for 25 years. And it basically showed the whole fraud. And if we talk about captured agency, that is huge, because our government knows it's harmful. And by the fact that they're telling the people that it's not harmful, it's the biggest fraud ever. It's really literally the biggest lie ever told. As I said, our army, our military learned it. Numerous studies that they conducted show it's harmful. Our EPA, FDA, NTP, all of them conducted studies that show that it's harmful. And we keep on telling people it's not harmful. And then you go to have, and you have to ask the question, what's going on here? Our government did admit that the mystery sickness of our diplomats is basically microwave-based weapons, which are, I mean, just like your wireless technology. So they know it's harmful and they lie to the public. So there are much bigger interests going on here. And
I'd like to see like short post memes that have links to this information that are not long, because people's attention spans are not very long.
Sadly,
but
our
facts could be
peppered
throughout the social media with information like a meme that says a statement and then it links to the verification of that, and also places where countries have actually banned it or where we're succeeding, something that people can get behind and feel like, okay, there's a chance, and this is what we have to do, and this is what we have to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's actually links, and we can send to you after that. But, yeah, but the thing is, people need to wake up. People need to use this technology less. And I think that if people will use this technology less, and there'll be demands for, that will create a demand for safer technology, and that will eventually force the industry to start and come up with safer technologies. We mentioned tobacco before. You know, when one of the companies wanted to develop a safer cigarette, the tobacco industry crashed it, because if you're developing a safer cigarette, it means that cigarettes were not safe or were harmful. And so they actually crashed that company that wanted to create a safer cigarette. But it's really a fight. I think right now we're fighting for humanity when it comes to technology, because where this is all heading for is a transhumanism, which is, I don't know what's your position. I don't want to be a half machine or live in a world where people are half machines, half humans. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think that it's biologically sustainable, because our body cannot tolerate this. But it's definitely not a world I want to live in.
Daphne, who would benefit from the transhumanism? I understand that you know, this 5G and the idea of the Internet of Everything. And, you know, like here in Canada, we have a, I have a good friend of mine, Paul, who listens to the show on a frequent basis. And he sent me basically a pamphlet. It was a digital pamphlet, a PDF file about the this rollout in Canada. And they were presenting it as this beautiful thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can track your cows and you can check your own blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, they're slipping in the whole transhumanism thing, mm-hmm. coordinating. Yeah. And but you know, it sounds very, wow, this is amazing. I can see myself, you know, in my own telemetry as I move along. But who is it really benefiting? And another question for you is that, I mean, I agree with you. I think there's something really wrong here. But how are the people that know this, unless they're completely crazy, how are they and their families, in other words, the people that own all these organizations and these telecommunications companies and like in China, Huawei, how are they living in it themselves and not realizing that they, their children, their children's children could be damaged just as much as the rest of us?
So I think I cannot tell you how many times I've been asked this question, and I have to say, I don't know. And I don't think the fact that, I mean, I cannot see that people say, okay, so it's must not, then it's definitely not harmful. But I think there's, you mentioned before, cognitive dissonance. There's a lot of cognitive dissonance. I think also money is a very, very strong incentive for people not to see what's right in front of their eyes. I mean, you know how many people work in high tech that have children who are autistic? In the past 10 years, the rates of autism went up 4 times.
Yes, we've covered that before.
And and the evidence is very strong. And actually, there's a guy who was he was an air, I think a Navy pilot for fighters, and he had 2 children who are. And then he went to Stanford. He got a degree in Stanford. He was he's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, made a lot of money, and then he has 2 children who are autistic and. Then he got sick himself. Essentially, he became electrosensitive. And then he wondered and said, how come he has 2 children who are autistic? And he spent a lot of money researching different causes. And his conclusion, and there's a scientist from Harvard University, Professor Martha Herbert. She's a pediatric neurologist, MD, PhD. She's one of the world's greatest, most known experts on autism. And she published a paper showing that there's very likely a connection. And the science is pretty strong. And he concluded that's the only reason and only explanation is really why his children are autistic. And there are studies that show there's more autism in high-tech related neighborhoods.
Really?
So it affects, yeah. Wow. And so it is affecting their families, also ADHD, et cetera, et cetera. But the anecdote here is actually the city that has the strongest limitation on 5G is Los Altos, California,
oh,
a telecom neighborhood. And the reason this has happened there is those people do know there's a problem with this technology. And they have enough money to block it, to make sure that their city pass rules that block it, because if they will sue by the industry, they will pay the legal fees of their city against the industry. And that's why they're able to pass that legislation. So while they put it all over for all of us, they don't have it. They're banned. 5G is banned in their residential neighborhoods. And that's actually against the law. It's against the FCC regulation to ban it in and they ban it nevertheless.
Well, can other cities do that as well with the same methods?
They would not, because the industry threatened them that they would be sued, and there would not be someone to pay the legal fees. So there's and if you were the industry, that would not be the first city you're going to sue. You're going to sue a weak, poor city. And the industry has a lot of power. I mean, the city of San Francisco in 2010 passed an ordinance that they should put a sign wherever you sell cell phone and that, you know, that you should be careful, that put it away from your body, et cetera, et cetera. The wireless industry lobby association sued them. They were in court.
We need to hold it there, Daphna. Sorry, no, we're at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. Our guest tonight is Daphna Talkover, and we're discussing 5G technology. Catch you on the other side.
The Other Side of the News is a current and dynamic companion to augment the discussions from The Other Side of Midnight.
We investigate, explore, and extrapolate facts to gain better understanding of current affairs and events, and thus
to bring comfort and calm to our wide international audience. It's a spontaneous commentary
based on well-verified references vetted through vigilance and discernment.
Our desire
is to awaken your imagination
with questions.
Questions that have not been asked, yet need answering. The Other Side of the News is a place where you can come and be with us in community.
Learning new things, asking questions, getting compelling answers,
and interesting viewpoints. It's about curiosity.
We present thought-provoking questions to incite your mind, propelling you to see the world in another way.
Propelling you to see the world in another way.
With clear insights and fresh perspectives on global events.
Tune in for a balanced view
of the other side of the news.
And The Other Side of the News can be heard here on this network, on this channel, on this website, on this URL, every Friday evening, 2 hours, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. I warn you, you'll miss it at your own peril.
Welcome back to The Other Side of the News. To find the show page, please go to theothersideofmidnight.com. Our show tonight is 5G, a Trojan horse, and our wonderful guest is Daphna Tocover. And Daphna, you were just telling us about the Palo Alto and how they were avoiding, you know, having 5G and what we can do and what other cities.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, and I think the question was, how come the telecom people doing it if it's harmful because they're getting injured too and their families? And again, it's really also there's different levels to the answer. You know, there's psychopath, like, sorry for my language, like Bill Gates. They just want kind of like world dominance and whatever ideas they have, and they push whatever they want. And then they have the people who work for them. Most people don't know that WAS is harmful because that's what we've been told in the past decades. And they just keep on pushing more and more technology because they have like very active brain, and they tell them doing this and this, and they just want to see if they can do that, and they invent whatever it is that they're inventing. So, but I mean, I don't have explanations to evil. The evidence is very, very clear. This is very harmful. It's not sustainable biologically anymore. We see a lot of harms, autism, ADHD in these people as well. You see the problem with reproduction. There are about 100 studies showing clearly what it does to the sperm. Male sperm is down 50% in the past 30 years. 25% of people are in fertility treatment. So there is a problem, and the problems are all around us, including the people working for the telecom industry.
Commenting as well. I think that before we even go to 5G, if anybody takes the trouble to read the small print, I've not done it myself, but I've heard and read many times that if you check the small print of mm-hmm. any normal cell phone, whether it be, you know, one of the major brands, it does in fact say it is not advisable or it is harmful if you actually touch your head or ear with it. It is much better to hold it away like, half an inch or 2 centimeters, whatever it is. Because, you know, even that in itself, a normal 4G or 3G telephone is harmful. So when we increase the frequency and increase the amount of data and increase the power and the number of towers, transmitters, then obviously it's not going to go any better. But my point is that in order to substantiate the numbers of, in terms of fertility and so on, then it shows that the problem is not now. The problem is actually a decade ago.
It's growing. Some of the harms. Yeah, no. Sorry, you want to prove that the previous generations were harmful as well. This is harmful. Every level of it is harmful. Every generation is harmful, and studies continue to show that. We have thousands and thousands of studies proving that this is harmful and various effects. So some of the effects will be cumulative. Some will be immediate. Some will be on your brainwave. Some will be on your sperm. So it's really, for example, for the sperm, can actually recuperate. So the study is showing that, you know, if you put your cell phone in your pocket for the sperm will go down, the sperm count will go down 47% or 50%. If you take out a phone from your pocket for 3 or 4 months, your sperm will recuperate. So there's things that can recuperate. However, for example, when it comes to sperm, some claim that the DNA of the sperm is irreparable. So that's damage to generations. But yeah, all of these technologies harmful on different levels, different harms, some of them cumulative, some of them are not, some of them, it's just so complex. But mm-hmm. the harms are proven, and people need to know that, and they're not becoming aware for that. So they're not becoming aware of it because nobody has the interest to tell them the truth, not the government, not the telecom companies, not the media that owns the telecom companies that own the media. So we really, the most important thing that we all need to do right now, I think, it's get educated, understand that this is harmful, and probably the most harmful things we have right now in our environment, and the most impactful and contributing factor in almost every disease we around us, not that so many diseases are you know, rates are going up, reproductive harm, Alzheimer, autism, ADHD, neurological problem, neurological death, et cetera, et cetera. So something is causing that.
Daphne, is there anything we could do in terms of diet? I mean, for example, two things I'd like to ask you about, actually. One of them is diet. And secondly, the other thing is, I've seen, for example, there are a number of companies on the market now selling like a sort of a pocket Faraday cage, something you can actually put your cell phone into a bag, which is effectively has a barrier to the frequencies. Now, that's obviously going to protect the individual, but also effectively go off the radar in terms of the cell towers following you, because everybody is trackable, of course, with this track and trace technology. So two questions. Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves in terms of to prevent or reduce the damage to ourselves? And secondly, is there anything we can do in terms of, you know, to prevent us from being exposed to harmful frequencies?
I think the most important thing is right now to reduce exposure. So it means that what I tell people, the first thing they should do is really turn off the Wi-Fi in their house, especially at night. It affects our bodies in so many ways. It interrupts our brain waves, so we don't sleep. I mean, so many people cannot sleep or don't sleep well or get up and tired at night, in the morning. This really, the Wi-Fi specifically, and was shown to reduce melatonin production. Melatonin is the hormone that's responsible for all our body regeneration processes and corrective processes. So if you don't have enough melatonin, because the radiation inhibits the production of melatonin, then first, you don't sleep well. Your body cannot correct the damage that the wireless was doing during the day and during the night. And so it's like a double damage. Furthermore, mm-hmm. It was shown specifically that melatonin can correct the DNA damage that the Wi-Fi does. And so you really want to have enough melatonin. So turn off that Wi-Fi router, especially when you sleep. You're sleeping.
What I did in that particular case is I decided to go to downgrade to an Ethernet cable for my studio, and
fantastic.
And also, okay, I still use Wi-Fi during the day, but I put a very simple a time switch, so every day at a certain time it switches itself off because the power's cut, and it switches itself on again in the morning. So at least that one is down, you know, by 50% of its transmitting time, and that's something which everybody can do in a very inexpensive way, but at least that's a 50% reduction.
It's still the 50% that you keep it on, it's pretty very helpful.
true.
And there's no the problem with this. I mean, there's no warning sign. I mean, for me, it happened in 1 second. I mean, the same day that I got sick from this, I was using wireless in the morning and in the afternoon, and then I went to buy a new laptop and start to react to it. So there's no warning sign. You just 1 second you're going to be okay, and 1 second your body say no more. And so and every little bit is affecting us. So I think if you did exactly what you should have done, which is use Ethernet cable. It's not really downgrading. In many ways, it's upgrading. Actually, people who are gamers don't use wireless. They use wired internet because the internet is faster and more and faster and more coherent. So you can very easily hardwire your house and use wired internet. I'm working all around the country, all around the world. I do tons of work. Most of it is online. I just connect my laptop with a wired cable, and I sent you links for instructions to people how to hardwire both the laptops, iPads, and even your phones. You can actually hardwire your phone and use your phone while it's on airplane mode and Wi-Fi off, and use it to do a lot of things on the internet. So it's just a matter of decision, and I think the decision should be very, very clear. This is about how your brain works. This is how your ability to think. This is about your children's health now and forever. Some damage is irreparable. I mean, I don't know anyone who developed what I have, which is microwave sickness, who healed. And you cannot heal in this environment, because it's getting worse and worse. So you don't want to get sick. And the fact that you don't have the symptoms yet does not mean that your body is not affected and it's on the way. And it's going to affect you in so many ways. And so I think what people need to do is make a decision. We need to educate ourselves and get better. Other things you may want to do, for example, one of the first thing that was put in our home as part of the smart grid is smart meters, which is the utility meters. We have wireless utility meters on our home instead of the analog meters we had in the past. I know most of the people that I know that got sick after smart meter was installed on their homes, and there are different reasons for that. So thanks to efforts of a lot of activists, most states offer what's called opt-out. So I think the first thing you need to do is call tomorrow morning to your utility company, say I want to opt out from the smart meter, and get a non-transmitting utility meter, and that's huge.
That is huge, but also, I mean, I experienced that myself firsthand. That along came some guy. I normally live in southwest Turkey, and a guy came along one day and took off the old analog meter and put a smart meter in its place. And I said, well, I don't want that. Please put the other one back. And, you know, he was adamant that he was going to leave the smart meter on there because it was more than his job's worth to argue the point with me. So I had to take it up on a different level. But I did have a tri-field meter, and this thing was broadcasting a lot of dirty radiation. Dirty electricity.
Electricity, yeah.
Yes.
So and what did you have? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I was just going to say, but also the smart meter, just to let people know, the listeners know, is that the smart meters, they're sold on the principle that they will actually save you money. But in fact, most people find they actually cost you more in terms of energy. Uh-huh. And the last point I'll add as well is I heard from, in the case of Turkey, the energy company estimated it was going to earn more revenue from selling the actual digital information it gained from the appliance usage in everybody's house than actually selling the electricity that they did the year before. So information is what it's all about, data, as you say.
It's access, it's data. Those meters, they sold the way they got it installed and got money to pay to participate in this program is by the fact that it's going to save us all the electricity, because we'll be able to control. We see our usage every second and every minute of the day. Bottom line, those meters did not save so far $1 to anyone. If anything, actually most a lot of the companies ask for increase in rates because they got into debt because of the smart meters. So they didn't save us electricity. They actually cost us higher rates right now. There's some state that have investigation. How come those companies ask for increased rate when they claim that that will actually reduce electricity use and save money to people? It was always about the data. It was always about getting access to your data through the smart meters to know what you use, when you use, how much you use, and as you said, they sell it for data. And that was always the purpose of it. And as I said, so many people are sick from it. So, and in regard to dirty electricity, what happened with the smart meters is send up to 190,000 pulses a day. Those pulses messes up your body, this on-off. And in addition, it sends those pulses also to all the electric appliances in the house. So they put these wireless frequencies into your house electric system, making the whole house into an antenna and messing up the clean sinus wave of the 60 hertz, adding more frequencies on it. And again, creating something which is like a mess in terms of on, off, different kind of frequencies. And that's what dirty electricity is, and it's adversely affecting your body. When I, as a person who is affected by it, go into a house that has dirty electricity, my legs literally burn. I cannot put my feet on the ground. And it's pretty massive. One thing people don't want to do, some companies sell a smart meter guard. That is this is what you don't want to do, because what would do it, it will block the meter from sending those wireless pulses, and they're going to pulse even more because they'll try to reach the cell tower, and then they'll put more wireless frequencies into your house and higher intensity, creating even more dirty electricity in your house. So do not get those meter guards. Just get an opt-out, even if it's cost some money. One doctor visit will cost you more than the opt-out fees. So
I guess you could also drill a little hole in the top of it and fill it with water.
Well, then they have a little bit of a problem.
With rubber gloves.
You may not have a house.
So, Daphne, just to circle back again. So, if it is digital collection of data, then are we looking at a system that is intent on surveillance and control, and for whom? And I'm gonna add to this. Back in 2014, NASA partnered with MIT and did a demonstration where they basically beamed the wireless internet signal across 238,900 miles that separates the Earth to the Moon. In other words, the Moon had internet. And we just a couple weeks ago had NASA partnering with SpaceX and sending up two astronauts for the first time in 9 years to the ISS from American soil. I mean, we are now on the verge of truly embarking beyond the Earth, and we're going to bring our technologies with us, and it's going to happen. Like, who is it going to?
I don't agree with you. It's going to happen. I mean, I don't agree that, you know, if you say to people it's going to happen, and that's exactly what's, you know, like I was yesterday on a conference call in Israel, like a conference on 5G in Israel, and they had a guy in the Israeli government who is from the EPA, which regulates this issue. He said, oh, it's going to happen, guys. Kind of like saying to them, no chance of doing anything, right? It's going to happen. They already have the antennas in their warehouses. No, it doesn't have to happen. And if I had that kind of like point of view, we would not be here right now, where some countries even ban it, some cities ban it. The FCC is so worried that they came out with an article, the General Counsel wrote an article to the Washington Post trying to cause conspiracy theories. That's to show that we're effective. So last week, 24 Democrats wrote the FCC not to pass another regulation they're about to pass about 5G. So no, we cannot be defeated and say, oh, it has to happen, it will happen. It's not necessarily will happen. If we all wake up and do what our share and push our cities and push our congressmen and remove the wireless devices from your house or use them much less, all of this will have an impact. So furthermore, I really do believe that it's not sustainable. If they keep on adding it, people are collapsing. My email is I cannot answer people who write me, even if their children are sick, because so many people get sick. So it's just not sustainable. I believe that the reason it's going to collapse is because people are collapsing.
I want to underline what you're saying there, that we have to be more conscious in how we put out this information. And I really appreciate you saying, not agreeing with, it's going to happen. This is what I was talking about at the very beginning of the show, that we're at a place where we're making choices on how we're visioning the future. Mm-hmm. And you are part of the positive future. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing. And so, in my reality, in my world, it's not going to happen because of the work you and others like you are doing.
Well, let me rephrase it. When I'm saying that, Daphne and Kinthea, I don't mean necessarily 5G. I'm talking about a bigger perspective. We are, as humanity, moving forward. Daphne, you called an interesting metaphor where you said, and it's an old biblical idea, this Tower of Babel.
Babel.
We're building this monstrosity of something, and we're moving towards something. What I meant by it's going to happen, I don't necessarily mean 5G.
Sorry.
No. But this is what I mean is that we are connecting not just here on our planet and a network around our planet, but we are literally have done it with the moon. It's going to eventually happen with Mars and perhaps in the asteroid belt and beyond. So it's like you're right. We have to move forward with these technologies with some understanding and with some grounding in fact. And what are the effects? But what I mean by it's going to happen is that unless something super tragic happens on this planet, and Elon Musk thinks that could be, that's why he's hurrying up his employees to get to Mars, or at least to develop technologies to get to Mars. What I'm saying is that we're going to, as a collective, as a species, we're going to keep building this tower, but we got to do it in a sustainable and structurally sound way where we have, you know, a sense of morality and a sense of ethics going up. Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean by moving forward.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be the skeptic. Before that, I said I'll be the optimistic, right? So, yeah, it is. So, I mean, humans never use things for good. I mean, look at history. I mean, there'll always be enough people that will use it for evil. Look at the leaders of this world. Mostly the people who are narcissists, megalomaniacs, and those are just simple, those are gentle words. Look at the Bill Gates of the world. I mean, come on, people will always find ways to use everything into evil, and usually those are the people who get to power. It's not the people who just want to raise their families nice in a city, have a job, and come back to the children, hug them, and love them. These are not the people that rule the world. So, that's the problem. And so I think, I don't know how this, I don't know where we're heading. I don't know what will happen and won't happen. I do hope that there'll be some kind of an event that will change the direction in which we're going. I don't know if it will, maybe it will, but there's a good chance it doesn't. I think Elon Musk is probably one of the biggest problem of this world. So he's creating all this stuff, and he's actually creating a lot of, he's messing up this world completely. I mean, 50,000 satellites are going to mess up the whole electromagnetic system of the universe. So I don't know. I don't know what will be the thing that will change history, but you know, many times unexpected things happen that change history. We just had the epidemic, the coronavirus. In some ways, I think it's a horrific change, like September. Sorry, yeah.
No, but Daphne, I mean, you're talking, but you are the change. Like one of the things you talked about is when you walk into a house with a certain, you know, technologies running through it, your legs are burning. And we can get into the details about what that might mean medically, et cetera. But the point is, at the core, you're talking about sensitivity, and that's what you have, and that's what you've brought in this last hour and a half, and that's what we're trying to do on this radio station or this radio program and through our hosting here and your participation to sensitize people to these issues. So you are offering solutions. I just have to say that because your sensitivity is clear and you are wanting to alert people and bring that quality, and I think that's honorable and amazing, and I appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I think it just, we all have to become aware. I think there's really dark things happening in the world right now. I think in coronavirus, in an odd way, exposed that, a lot of it. And people, I think I think you discussed the fact that you think that 20% of people now are becoming aware that this world is very dark right now. And there's a lot of behind the scene that we are not aware of. So I definitely think that people wake up, and I think we have to continue to wake them up. And I don't know how things will change. I do hope they will. And it really depends on us and all of us coming together. We don't have the money. We don't have the power. We have the grassroots. We have the people. And that's where our power is right now.
And you started with four. You started with a box of four, right? Four people.
As far as we were there in that event in FCC, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's exactly, that's what gives me hope, you know. We started from nothing and here we are. So if we all keep on doing our part, and you know, each of us has a part, each of us can create change in their way, and hopefully it will lead to big and bigger things.
Yeah. And we're getting really close to the end of the show now, and Kinthea mentioned to me in the box that I pronounced your name wrong, so I apologize for that.
That's
it's Daphne. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you two, you guys, Tim and Kinthea, want to come in and add a bit here as we move towards the end?
Kinthea, ladies first.
Well, I just want to say, Daphna, that you are one of those radiant examples of why we're doing this show, to give exposure to those who are taking positive action. And I'm looking forward to you sending your links so that we can share them with our audience, who are also very thoughtful listeners. And I do believe that exponentially we are growing together in mass to bring an awareness on this planet. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And again, you're doing your part and spreading the word. So great. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to add as well, just to go back very quickly to one or two of the links in my fast links. There is a connection. But Daphna, you're talking about events. I mean, I think there are events happening hand over fist at the moment. That's why I have so many links this week. For example, one event is a particular nurse called Erin Marie. I'm going to try this name. I've got a mental blanket. Olzensky. There we are. It's a terrible pronunciation. Excuse me. But she came forward, gave a documentary, a narrative, undercover camera in a hospital. And, you know, she's basically a whistleblower saying this is actually what's going on inside some of these COVID hospitals. She's very brave. And, you know, I think there are a lot of very brave people coming out and showing the fruit of their work and that they're the truth. We're all in pursuit of the truth. Another event as well, which I'd like to talk about very quickly, is the work of James Corbett, the Corbett Report. I think he's an excellent investigative journalist. And tomorrow he has named the, what is it called? It's the Expose Bill Gates Day, June the 13th. So if you want to learn why Bill Gates should be exposed, then if you look at my link number 25, there are four-part documentaries all about how Bill Gates seems to have cocked his leg all over the world and have his finger in all sorts of pies, excuse the language there. But and I think that, you know, there are lots of ways which you can join in and to bring awareness to other people. So, Daphna, I'd like to thank you very much for everything you've done. I really appreciate your work. I really appreciate learning from you this evening, and may long continue.
Thank you so much. And by the way, about Gates, Robert Kennedy and myself, we wrote an article. It's called Brave. It actually came out before the Corbett Report. It's called kind of like the same. It's called The Brave New World of Bill Gates and Big Telecom. So that's. I think I sent you the link. I might be interested to read.
I will definitely read it. Thank you very much. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Yes, thank you, Daphna. So we're real close to the end of the show now, a few seconds out. I want to thank Daphna, our guest tonight on the other side of the news, Timothy Saunders, Kinthea, myself, Andrew Curry, the hosts. And I want to leave you with this, everyone. In the pandemonium that is change, one and all will suffer all kinds of riotous change. But in each one of us lives a creatively collective process which holds the trust or the promise for humanity's freedom and liberty. Faith becomes you. Stay with it. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Goodbye, everyone.